So I'm going to start today's podcast in a bit more of a reflective place, with something that's actually quite hard to talk about. I had a friend, and she was a really good friend. We spent a lot of time together, had a lot of fun and a lot of laughs, and I thought I knew her really well. But she was always, I'm going to put this, she was always a little different. She was always a little bit neurotic and kind of quirky, I suppose. And that was an endearing part of her character. But over time, it became clear that this, what we call quirkiness, and kind of, you know, we appreciated as part of her, was becoming a problem. That it wasn't quirkiness anymore. She was having problems coping with real life, with holding down a job, with her family, even with coping with being in this country. She would move countries and move around quite a lot. And it, you know, she was obviously having mental health problems. I'm not party to any diagnosis or anything like that, but it was almost like at points like she was having a psychotic episode. Like she changed and was unrecognizable from the friend I thought I knew. And I think the thing I regret is I didn't know when to step in. I didn't know when to help or how to help her. And over time, we lost touch. I reached out to her via Facebook and email and phone and tried to reconnect with her, but you know, I gave up eventually because I had no response. And it makes me sad, and it makes me regret what I could have done and how I could have helped or been there for her. But then another part of me thinks, well, maybe I would make it worse. I don't know. It's a difficult call. But I still think about it to this day. It's been probably a good 10 years since I've been in contact with her. But I still think about her. I still care about her. And I still wonder whether I was a good friend or not, and whether I could have been a better friend to her. Unfortunately, I don't think I'll ever know. Hello, and welcome back to A Friend Indeed, the podcast that investigates the truth about modern friendships. So in this episode, we're talking about mental health and friendship. Now, of course, mental health is in the headlines at the moment because of the COVID-19 pandemic. That pandemic may have been started by a virus, but one of its major side effects has been a doubling in the rate of depression seen in the UK, with 1 in 5 people reporting symptoms. Last year, there were more than 6 million people in England taking antidepressants, and that's the highest figure on record. And these are simply incredible rates of mental illness in our society, and they're not going to be fixed anytime soon. In some ways, perhaps they're an inevitable consequence of the measures we're having to take to prevent the spread of coronavirus. And, you know, there were rising rates of depression before any pandemic, and I'm not trying to minimise what is a medical diagnosis by some citizen science in the podcast today. But one factor that has been linked over and over again with better mental health is friendship. Friendship has been described as a psychological vaccine against both physical and mental illness. According to the so-called buffering hypothesis, social support provided by friends can make us help make us more resilient when responding to life stresses. And studies do show clearly that those with more supportive friendship groups report lower feelings of anxiety. But is it really that simple? I've had a look at the science behind this, and it's difficult. Mental health is a complex thing. You can pretty easily make a correlation between better mental health and more supportive friendship groups, but proving that one causes the other is a lot harder. One of the features of depression, for example, is social isolation. A Swiss study published last year looked at the interactions that undergraduate students had in their first week at staying at a remote house in the country. They hung badges around their neck that reported the number of interactions that they had with others over the week, and then asked them about their mental health. And interestingly, the results of that study showed that those with more depressive symptoms spent significantly less time interacting with others. But perhaps even more interestingly than that, individuals tended to interact with others that had a similar level of depression as they had. Yes, so when it comes to depression, it appears that like attracts like. Of course, whether that's a good thing or not could be debated, but there is evidence that in a scenario like this, the tendency to interact with similarly depressed individuals could actually lead to mirroring their behaviours and developing more depressive symptoms. So, friendship's not always an unadulterated good. We can't say that. But what we can say is that there is good evidence that supportive friends can be a powerful factor in helping us maintain our mental health. And in this episode, I really want to explore what that support might look like. I shared that story at the top just to illustrate really that sometimes it can be really hard to know what to do when a friend is in trouble. So I invited someone who knows a lot about it onto the podcast. So I'm delighted to welcome to A Friend Indeed, Johnny Benjamin.
Thank you.
Johnny is an absolutely tireless campaigner for better mental health in the UK. You may have seen him recently, actually, on the news, defending Meghan against people who were, perhaps doubting her admissions of her mental health struggles. And Johnny makes some wonderful films. There was a few years ago a Channel 4 documentary called The Stranger on the Bridge, which Johnny produced about his own quest to find a complete stranger who in 2008 actually prevented Johnny from taking his own life on Waterloo Bridge by coming up to him and talking to him. He has also written a book about that I highly recommend, and I will place a link to that in the show notes. So Johnny, you've had a busy week.
Well, I've been defending, obviously Meghan in the interview with Oprah talked about, having suicidal thoughts and feelings. And so I've been talking about that a lot this week to people that don't believe her or doubting her mental health status it's been quite tough at times, to be honest, particularly on social media. There's a lot of hate and that's quite hard at times.
So in this episode, what I wanted to talk about was a friendship and mental health. Can you tell me a little bit about the friends that you have around you?
Yeah, I feel like I've got a huge amount of support around me, which I'm so lucky. I know I'm so lucky to have that, because I speak to people that don't have that support around them, particularly if they're struggling with their mental health. And that's so tough. Yeah, all the time I feel very fortunate with the people that I have around me.
What is it about those friends that helps you?
Different friends respond in different ways, or different groups of friends respond in different ways. So, or one friend might send me really supportive WhatsApp messages, or another group of friends might send me a massive box of chocolates when I'm struggling, or something, just as a little gift or something. When I struggle with my mental health, I tend to go quite quiet and maybe shut off from the world for a bit. And my friends understand that now. They still send their support, but they let me be, they let me have my time.
And how did you get to that place of understanding?
Well, I think it took a while. The very beginning, when I was first unwell and in hospital, we didn't really know what to say to each other, me and my friends. It was very awkward. But I think, over time, as I've spoken up about my mental health more. It's helped them to talk about either their mental health or what they experienced with me. Or we have shifted in terms of our society and talking about mental health over the last few years, and to open up more, to talk about it more. Seeing all these high profile people in the media now talking about mental health, seeing it on the agenda, particularly with the pandemic and the lockdowns, it is really on the agenda, which is brilliant. So yeah, I think there's definitely been a shift, and that's definitely helped me and my friends to talk, to open up, to know how to kind of react when I'm not well.
And you've been diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder. And so what about those days when you actually don't really want to talk with anyone or meet them? How are friends a help then?
Well, I mean, yeah, it happened recently, actually. It happened recently, 4 or 5 months ago, I had a relapse and I ended up back in hospital, and I very much didn't want to talk to people at that point, my friends. You know, it's hard for me, I think, and I know for other people, when you're really struggling and you feel like you don't want to read, you know, those messages that keep coming through on your WhatsApp chat. You just want to shut off. And I think, yeah, this last relapse that I had, you know, normally I think I'd be very much like, right, I need to get back to this person, and then I need to get back to that person. But, you know, this time I was like, no, they'll have to wait. You know, I'm struggling and I just don't have the headspace. And that was fine with them, which is great. No one was, you know, Johnny, why haven't you got back to me? Obviously, that would just make things a whole lot worse.
Sometimes it's not actual contact, is it? It's almost that sense of having friends so that you're not alone.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I was first unwell, I very much isolated myself. In my early 20s, I was in this kind of weird limbo. Didn't want to take my medication. I didn't want therapy. I didn't want to get better. Well, no, I didn't. I just couldn't handle my diagnosis and my illness. And I just tried to avoid it. My friends tried to avoid it. We all were just, I don't know, just pretending it wasn't there. And that was extremely hard. But thankfully, you know, as the years have gone on, and I don't feel so alone. I mean, I don't feel alone at all, actually, if I'm honest. Again, I keep saying it, but I'm really lucky to say that I never feel alone. You know, I get a lot of messages and things and they say, yeah, no, I am alone, though. I am alone. And I'll always say, no, you're not. You know, there is so much help and support out there. And there's so much, you know, what I love about the time that we're living in, you know, you have initiatives like Mental Health Mates. Mental Health Mates is, you know, a group of people that will meet in different parts of the UK and go for a walk, go for a picnic. They've all got mental health struggles and they'll support each other. I actually belong to a men's group called HuMen, and we meet every Monday night online at the moment on Zoom. And it's funny because actually last week in the group, we were all saying we kind of feel like friends and we've never met each other, and there's men from all over the world, all different backgrounds, you know, but it's just the support that people give each other. I don't know, it's hard to find it sometimes, but there is a lot of kindness, compassion and support out there, actually.
And can we talk about social media? Because obviously you have a big persona, I suppose, on social media. You have, you know, a big following. And how does friendship fit into that? Or is it not friendship at all? You know, do you have any friends that are just friends on social media, or do they all have some kind of personal contact element?
I do, actually. I do have friends that I've formed on social media. And there's one friend, actually, that I formed on Twitter. We've been friends for years, but I've never actually, this is going to sound strange, but I've never seen that person's face. They're an incredible artist. So, and they've got very, very low self-esteem. So they've never wanted to show their face to me or to anyone on social media.
And you've never met?
Never met. Don't know what she looks like. And obviously, you know, I know if I was saying this in a sort of dating context, people would be like, what the hell are you doing? She's very open with me about her struggles, and she's very sincere and very compassionate. And yeah, it's interesting.
Obviously, it can be incredibly draining for the friend of someone who has a mental health issue. So what would your advice be to them to balance kind of their needs as well as the friend they're trying to support?
It's a really tough one. You know, I've got one friend, and I know he won't mind me saying, because we talk about it now, but one friend that disappeared when he was going through a really bad mental health crisis. And you know, I had to escalate that to the police, and he was eventually found. he'd gone abroad, actually. But that was really tough, to be honest, for me and for our other friends, really. But now we've got a rule. He'll tell us where he is, and he'll say, right, I'm taking a break for 2 weeks. I'm here, I'm safe. You know, it makes such a big difference to know that. I would really encourage that. Finding a way that people can communicate with their friends when they're in a bad place and communicate what their needs are. I think the key is not giving up with a friend. Maybe when they don't respond as they normally would, maybe when they go quiet, you know, be patient with that friend. Yeah, and look after your own mental health as well. You know, it's so important to look after your own mental health. And also, I think, you know, don't do it alone. So if you've got another mutual friend, talk to them if you're concerned, and talk to them about, you know, the best course of action. Yeah, I definitely think it helps to kind of share the load.
I think a lot of the struggle is sometimes you don't know how to help that someone who you know is maybe struggling. And what would your advice be if you do spot that and maybe they're not talking to you about it?
I think the key is going gently on someone. You know, there was a period when I was struggling a few years ago and I turned to alcohol, and my friends got very angry with me about it. And I'm not criticizing them at all, because I understand, but I think maybe their anger wasn't the best course of action at the time. I needed to be listened to, I needed to be heard and not judged and reassured, but maybe I didn't quite get that at the time. And that compassion and empathy is just so important. It goes such a long way.
There's almost a temptation sometimes to give advice as well, isn't there? Or to tell someone what they need to do. Is that always the best idea?
No. I mean, I've had all sorts of suggestions over the years. Like, you know, don't take your medication, or you should be taking this medication instead, or you should try this, or, you know, unless you're trained as a psychiatrist or, you know, a psychologist, you've got to be really careful the advice that you give out to people when it comes to mental health. But yeah, I do think we have a tendency to, we want to fix things, and I get it. But I think really listening, at what we call active listening, rather than jumping in and trying to fix or solve, or just like really holding that space. I remember being with one friend who was in a really, really bad way, and just, I tried really hard to hold that space for him. And, you know, there were silences and pauses, and, you know, it wasn't a normal friendship conversation where we'd just chat. It was hard. I think hopefully he got all he needed to get out in that time, because I listened and, you know, didn't jump in and didn't try to fix. And it was, yeah, it was, I think it was helpful what came out from him that day.
I'm really interested in you know, fun and humour in friendship. So how does that play a role?
It's such a good point. Some of my friends take the mick at me. You know, oh, Johnny, you're always banging on about mental health, or even, you know, sometimes even cruder than that, but I won't.
It's not the BBC, you're fine.
I'm just being careful, because I'm very conscious within, you know, mental health. I don't want to trigger or offend anyone. Or for me, I like it. I like it when my friends take the mick out of me. So there's a t-shirt that my friends want to get me, and it says you put the hot in psychotic.
Only a friend could give you that.
But it depends on your level of humour, I think. And it's taken a while. I remember when my friends first started to try to take the mick, was in the early days, and they would talk about, oh, you're off your meds, Johnny, or you didn't take your meds today, did you? You're going a bit. And I'd be like, all right, mate. Like, I didn't appreciate it back in the beginning, I think. I was more sensitive, you know, it was more raw. But now, as long as it's obviously not too extreme, and it's not, as long as it doesn't verge on, you know, being cruel or mean, or, and as long as it's not directed, obviously, to anyone else but me, I do appreciate that.
All right. Well, I think that's great. Thank you so much for that. Next time I see you, I would like to see you in that t-shirt.
I mean, I found it, I thought it was hilarious, to be honest, but I know that, like, people can get, you know, people are sensitive, so then they can get pretty offended. So, yeah, need to be careful with that one.
Well, dodgy t-shirts aside, Johnny sounds like he has some pretty amazing friends that help him to maintain his mental health, and also, you know, when he is struggling, to just be there for him. And the thing that I really took from that was the kind of advice to have these conversations, to not be afraid to talk about these things, but also not to jump in with advice. And I'm terrible for this, you know, just to listen, to hold the space. So I think what Johnny called it, you know, those can be quite awkward actually, just to listen. But the importance of that, and to be kind about inquiring, but not being afraid to inquire about someone's mental health, I think that's really, really good advice. So for me, I might go and get in touch with that friend I talked about at the beginning of this episode. And I encourage you, if there's a friend that you have who you've been thinking about and you haven't got in touch with them, do get in touch. What have you got to lose? If you are struggling with your mental health, don't forget, you're not alone. You can phone the Samaritans on any phone on 116 123. There's no shame in doing that, and you will get some really good advice.